I want this morning to bring to you this first message on the soul winner. I want to take that word soul and every letter in it and bring that message out to you. That's the soul winner's secret. And then tonight, I want to take the word winner and letter by letter spell out the soul winner's service. The most important thing for us to recognize now is that we have a soul. And the S I want to take as representing the secret soul of us all. Hidden in our inward being, we have a soul. It is formless. It is shadowless. No eye has ever beheld it. No hand has ever handled it. And no drawing has ever drawn its lineaments. The mother who gave birth to her child never knew the child before. And although she carried that babe embosomed, and although she studied its babyhood, its youth, and its maturity, the cloud of love still could not take away the unknowableness of the soul of the babe she gave life to. Our life, as far as our souls are concerned, is totally and absolutely hidden. At times it gleams out. Our life is hinted at, but it still remains hidden. It gleams out at times. It flashes its sparks upon us. But its full orb has never been seen by us or any human being. Nor do we know the full measure of it. We stand before each other as volumes of books. The binding and the lettering are plain enough. The contents are unknown. They're but dimly suspected. We are like books in which some things are to be hidden from the common reader as unseen. And at every few paragraphs, the critical things are expressed in a shaded language. So in human life, the simplest things are read, but the internal things are not read. The gospel according to the Bible is, incline your ear, come unto me here, and your soul shall live. It was Mr. Spurgeon who once said that the gospel according to Isaiah, incline your ear and come unto me, here and your soul shall live. It is ours then to give men something worth their hearing. In fact, to instruct them. I am sent to evangelize. I am told I have to preach the gospel to every creature. And that is not done unless we teach them the great truths that are revealed in the Bible for our instruction. The gospel means good news. To listen to some preachers, you would imagine that the gospel was not good news. That it was a sort of secret snuff to make people waken up, or a bottle of ardent spirits to excite their brains. It is nothing of the kind. The gospel of Christ is news which brings certain vital information with it. It instructs us on matters we must give heed to. They are difficult matters. They're not easily understood. But they are important matters because upon them rests our coming life, which we will all have in eternity after death. The gospel of Christ is a reasonable system, and it appeals to men's understanding. It is a matter for thought and consideration. And it makes its appeal especially to our conscience and our reflecting powers. We may shout, believe, believe, believe. But what are we to believe? Each exhortation requires a corresponding instruction. Eschep is a gospel word. What do we escape from? Flee from the wrath to come. The clear doctrine of the gospel is Christ and his wounds at Calvary. And we are told to wash and be clean. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. We need to stop and to consider that great exhortation. Because there is one thing that we need to know. How can we wash in this blood? And how can we know we have been washed from our sins? It should be said that to make church members is a suitable task for unconverted Pharisees. But to beget men and women to God is the calling and work of truly born again laborers. If I am not truly born again, I cannot lead anyone to the place where they will be truly born again. Genuine conversions to God are the marks of true born again ones. But if we're not living in the joy of salvation, if we're not radiant with the fact that our sins are all forgiven, and every day brings us a day's journey nearer to our eternal home. If sorrow for sin has not lasted, then it is not true for repentance done by the Spirit in our heart can never be changed. It's always everlasting. Spiritual turning from sins and a general love for the Holy God and for all His commandments, that is a result of a work by the Spirit in our heart upon a soul that is inexplicable. Upon a soul that our eyes have never seen. Upon a soul that our mind cannot measure. No wonder our Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ is formed in thee. Of the whole church, Paul says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. 1 Thessalonians 2:9, for ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. 2 Thessalonians 3:8, with labor and travail, night and day. True salvation brings us into a new birth relationship with God. That is a miracle. The true believer has as result intense inward pain. Where is that pain settled? And where does our lives major on it? In our souls. In our souls. Within our hearts. For it condemns the world of sin and brings us into and face to face with righteousness and judgment. The believer is justified from all of the sins of the heart and the flesh. Christ bore all our sins upon the cross, and by His stripes we are healed. He either bore all your sins, or He bore none of them. He either saves once and for all, or not anything at all. By Christ, and by Christ alone, all by Him, that is, all that believe are justified. Acts 13:39, from all things which He could not be justified by the law of Moses. Either Christ bore our sins, past, present, and future, or none of them at all. The fruit of the Spirit calls us to mourn over them, to confess them, to forsake them, and to abhor them. By simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. Salvation is eternal salvation. It is forever. Christ does not save us from some of our sins. He saves us from all of them. His salvation is eternal, and it is unchanging. So never you forget that this work of the soul is secret. It's veiled in the secrecy of God's wisdom. The second letter of this word is the letter O, and that stands for ownership. This is interesting. Who owns your soul? The Bible tells me each one has his own soul. His own soul. The soul is that reasonable, spiritual, and immortal substance in man, where there dwells the origin of our thoughts, the origin of our desires, and the reasons which distinguish us from the animal world. This soul is spiritual. This soul is eternal. But you are responsible for its behavior. And all the correspondence that flows with that behavior. The spirit is your spirit. You are its owner. You are responsible for its thoughts and its deeds and its act. And you and only you will answer on the day of judgment for the behavior and the conduct of your soul. Conduct of your soul. The spirit is your spirit. And you are its owner. You're responsible for its thoughts and its deeds. And you will answer at the day of judgment for it. We can destroy our spirits in the sea of our sins and misdeeds and rejection of God's word. And hatred of God's Son. But you will be held responsible for destroying your soul. The final exhortation of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 should be applied to us all in trembling. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Only a human heart born again can cause us to face up to that great responsibility of not grieving the Holy Ghost. Well, we have seen the speciality of the soul. We have seen also to whom the soul belongs. But the third letter U stands for the unsaved soul. The unsaved soul. Because of Adam's fall, you inherited at your birth an unsaved soul. That unsaved soul is locked out of heaven. And the first footstep it takes after birth is to turn you on hell's road. You are born into this world in an unsaved condition. I was struck this week reading Luke chapter 13, 1 to 5. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You and Adam from birth are dead. In Adam you will perish. Hell is the eternity of the man, the woman, the boy, the girl who are lost. Millions and trillions and billions of souls all around us are perishing because they're unsaved. The word of Paul to the jailer was this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Sweet prospect of unfailing joys. My soul anticipates the day, and leaving to its work its toys, to Christ my Lord would haste away, with him forever to remain and shape the glory of his reign. The fourth letter in this word soul is the letter L. It makes me shudder when I say that stands for lost, the lost soul. In the book of Revelation, at the chapter 6, we have read of the damnation of lost souls. We have discovered that the soul is secret. We have discovered that the soul is old. We have discovered that the soul is unsaved from birth. But we have discovered that the soul is lost without Christ. The eternity of the lost soul. In the book of Revelation, chapter 6, part of which we read today, we have the awful damnation of the lost. Who can describe the separation, the darkness, the humiliation, the torments, and the damnation of hell? Fall ye rocks, and fall ye mountains. Hide, oh, hide us by your fall. Wrath is poured from all its fountains. God is come. He's judge of all. Thus will sinners on the rocks and mountains call. But can rocks or mountains hide them when the mighty God appears? Refuge will them be denied them, spite of wishes, sighs and tears. Them the sinner goes where no creature ever cheers. They who witnessed Sinai's thunders fled with terror and dismay. Who then can abide the wonders of that great and awful day? When the Savior comes His glory to display, God will then forever banish all the wicked from His sight. Then delusive hope will vanish, dreams of joy be put to flight, and the sinner sink into eternal light. Sinners here, oh, there's reason. When shall wisdom guide you when? Think of the approaching season when the Lord will plead with man. Hear Him, oh, hear Him, so shall ye blessed be. So much for the meaning of a lost soul. God has sent you and me to see these souls as God sees them. Lost. Destroyed. Torn asunder with sin. Marked and stamped for hell's judgment. You meet men and women every day labeled for a lost eternity. You look into eyes that will look into eternal darkness and hell fire forever. You hold the hand of a person that will burn in hell's flame forevermore. You look upon lips that will only cry out all the ages of a countless of eternity. I'm lost! I'm lost! I'm lost forever! And upon them will settle down the darkness that will never be lifted. That's why God wants you to reach souls and see them saved. To pull them out as brands from the burning. A brand from the burning, He rescued me, my own to be. A brand from the burning, He rescued me. Every child of God with the blood mark of the Son of God upon their heart, the indwelling of the Spirit within their soul, there's one job they should be doing, and that is seeking souls for Christ. There is one great job the church should be doing, and that is seeking souls for Christ. That's our business. I trust that these words, solemn words that I've spoken today, will bite into your heart and into your soul, and you will make up your mind that from this day onward, you're going to be the clear of the blood of all men. And you're going to speak to your loved ones and your friends and your neighbors and your workmates that they need Christ, and Christ invites them. There's cleansing and healing for all who will wash in the life-giving flood. There's perfect redemption and joy to be held in this world through the blood. May God call us to soul winning for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the solemnity of this hour. We thank Thee for speaking to us of the burden of the soul winner. We can see a man, but we don't see their souls. That's a hidden thing. That's a thing that is taken from our eyesight. We cannot see them as they are. What would happen to our attitude to them if we really saw them as lost souls? Oh God, call out of this congregation men and women, boys and girls, who are prepared to give all for Jesus in the realm of soul winning. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Do that for Jesus' sake. And everybody said,